From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us here on the Bishop's Hour. We're joined by Kevin Staskow, the Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Sacramento. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Bob.
Father Sylvester joins us as well from St. John's in Folsom.
Last name Kwiatkowski. Good morning.
Kwiatkowski?
Yes.
Not Irish?
Polish, 100%.
Very good. And Ninoshka?
Yes, hi,
I'll
everybody.
Let you pronounce your last name.
Ninoshka Neshnik.
Very good.
It's and a pleasure to be here.
You are from Panama.
Yes, I am. I born in Panama, and I've been in the United States for a long time.
Very good. How did you come from Panama to the United States? When did you come and why?
Oh, I came here because of a job, and and after that I settled down here and I get married, get my family.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, good to have you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Kevin, World Youth Day 2019. It seems like we just had one.
Well, it's been a couple of years. You know, the last one was in Poland, and that was in 2017, I believe. 16. See, it's been 3 years, Bob. It's been almost two and a half years. 3 years.
Wow.
But anyway, the new thing about this year's World Youth Day is they're having it in January for the first time. Normally, it's over the summer. So this year, it's going to be in January in Panama.
January in Panama is a little bit different than January in other places in the world. You don't really have summer and winter because you're so close to the equator.
Yes, it is. That is one of the reasons that probably the Catholic Church decided to do it in Panama, because Panama is a tropical country, and most of the year is raining season. So the months of January, February are our dry months.
Oh, wow.
So that's the main reason that they choose to do it in January, which is going to be very sunny and pleasant.
Oh, very good.
Yes.
Very good. Can you bring some of the Panama rain up to Sacramento?
I hope so. Yeah. I wish. But it's a very heavy rain. It's a very forest
tropical
rain.
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So is... We think of World Youth Day as a summer event. Is it? Are they worried about attendance in January or not?
I believe that probably Pope thought a little bit about everybody that is the America continent, you know, central, north, and south, because of in this continent, most of these cults. Are their vacation is during those months, January, February.
Right.
And Europe, they usually do it around June where they have their vacations over there. Mm-hmm. And on this time, they're giving a little bit more opportunity to America. But I believe that a lot of the Europes are coming to join us because from the Diocese of Panama, they has been signing a lot of them. And we're expecting a lot of them.
But I think that people who have motivation is not a problem, because I know from Poland will be one group that will travel to Panama by boat.
Wow.
Yes, so they set up, you know, all program, and is the school in Gdynia, which is big port, and several schools. And then young people decided to take a boat and a great adventure to go to Panama in different way. Yeah.
Well, that's exciting.
Yeah, I think there is some concern because of the college schedule in the United States. So most of the students, like, for instance, if our three Newman Centers are all in school during World Youth Day. So it would be really hard for them. They'd have to take school off, and it'd be and if they did come, it would be right at the beginning of their term, which would be really hard.
Yes, January 19 to 28.
So there's been a concern about that. But again, it's an international event, not just a United States event. So, you know, those who can go can go. And, you know, we don't, it's not a huge, I mean, you know, there's probably about 200, 250 from our diocese that go every year from various parishes. And so it's not a huge number. I would imagine about the same number may go, maybe a few less. And we normally the diocesan involvement with World Youth Day is that we help manage the bishop's schedule over there, because the bishop always goes to World Youth Day. So prior to World Youth Day, we'll be offering two or three formation sessions and a retreat for all the different groups that are coming from different parishes. And then once we're over in Panama, Father Sylvester is helping us find a location to do a mass with all of the groups from our diocese, and spend and have dinner with the bishop. And then we're also going to be coordinating the bishop's schedule over there. He'll be visiting each group kind of informally during the time and spending some time with them.
I remember some previous World Youth Days, there was something called Days in the Diocese or something that preceded it.
Yes, so like a week prior to World Youth Day, young people were spending, I think, in all dioceses in Poland, like in my diocese of Płock, in my area, for example, there are people from Armenia. And they were having catechesis, they staying with families to experience Polish food, Polish hospitality. They were traveling around, and then the last week everybody arrived to Krakow.
Are they doing that this time, do you know?
I'm not sure yet. Definitely, we know and we focus on the last 7 days when Pope will arrive to Panama. Yeah.
Very good. Nanushka, when you first heard that they were going to have World Youth Day in Panama, what were you thinking?
Oh, I got very excited.
Are you the one that suggested it to the Pope?
I wish.
Yes.
I was very honored to hear that the next World Youth Day is going to be in Panama. Our country is very small, but we have a very big heart. And besides this magnificent international Catholic event, to go to Panama and to explore Panama, I know the youth will love it because they're going to be surrounded by the ocean, from the Pacific and the Atlantic.
One of the few places that you can say that.
Yes, yeah. And Panama is the only place in the world where you can see the sunrise on the Pacific and set out on the Atlantic. So they were going to love that. And Father Sylvester is the one that introduced me for the World Youth Day and coordinate this. And I'm glad with Father that he, you know, trusted me and being from Panama to coordinate this magnificent event.
One of my sisters just visited Panama in the last few months, and just as a tourist, and just loved it, absolutely loved it.
It will be a very significant event, and last year I had a chance to have a short trip to Panama to explore the area. So we found great parish, Divine Mercy, which is only 15 minutes walk from the main event, Quinta Costera. Divine Mercy Parish. And then I was interviewed by one of the travel agencies, and I said that, like in Poland, is between two big civilizations, Western and Eastern. Panama is between big two oceans, and then through the Panama Canal, they are united. So people from all over the world, they will be like almost in the heart of the world on that day. So I'm so excited, and I think that God will give lots of graces to all of us, to young people.
So where in Panama will it be held? Will it be held in the city? Will it be in the countryside?
It's going to be held in the main city. Mm-hmm. I don't know, as probably so many people know, the World Youth Day to start about even a week before the main days, which is from January the 22nd to the 27th, which they're going to have a different workshops and Catholics events to give to the youth. And that's just going to be through the whole country. But the main event where the Pope is going to visit us and is going to be with us, and he's going to do Mass and we spend time with us, it's going to be from the 22nd to the 27th in the main city, in the beautiful Bell Causeway, which is the Quinta Costera. And it's already planned. Even in Panama, the government is planning to give all the people in Panama that they will not be working those days. So to ease the traffic and that everybody can participate and cooperate, and families are very excited to open their homes to receive all these youth that are coming from all over the world.
It's such a small country. Are people going to spill over? Is there plenty of room, plenty of accommodations?
You know, people in South America don't mind and don't care about space, so they will squeeze like fish, you know, and it is fun.
They
event.
Do in their soccer stadiums, for sure.
Yeah. Yes, and I can tell you that area, when we will have the events with Pope and Catechesis, is very scenic because this is business area, so from the one side you have a beautiful sky person, on the other side you have the view of Panama Canal, when all boats, you know, go
right
through. Yes.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Yes. So tell us about the plans for I want to say kids. It's not kids. Youth and young adult. What do we talk about, Kevin? 18 to 39, something like that?
For world youth? 16 to 39.
Yeah. It's a wide range. Talk about the efforts here in the Diocese of Sacramento and at St. John's Folsom in terms of World Youth Day.
We want to combine a little bit, I mean, the World Youth Day as a religious event and to explore Panama City and Panama country, and we are having short itinerary arriving to the airport, and then, if time will allow it, to visit and to actually draw or swim, draw, go through Panama Canal on the boat with the dinner. Then we will explore also the old town of Panama. Then one day we are having ambitious plan to go for dinner with to experience Panamanian food, folklore, dancing, and which is beautiful, very dynamic and typical Central America. And what else are we going to do?
And also we're going to visit one of the indigenous in Panama, which they live as they were living years.
Really?
Long time. One of them is called Embera, mm-hmm. and they can experience how they are living and the traditional food that they really eat, and the dances and all of that. And one of the big experiences that also, as Father Sylvester mentioned, that we are going to ride on a boat through all the locks of Panama.
Wow.
Which is Miraflores, Pedro Miguel. And they can experience how the water and the locks are open, and the water, they make it level, crossing from the Atlantic to the Pacific. And it's, as you know, Panama is one of the seven wonders of the modern world.
Right.
So very few people have the opportunity to have that kind of experience.
How long is the canal, do you know?
It's to cross it depends on the size of the ship. It could take about 15 to 20 hours.
But how many miles, do you know how many miles it is?
It's only 18 kilometers, I think.
Is that, yes. Oh, that's right. Oh, so only about 10 miles, something like that. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So on this one, because we're doing just to have the experience, it's going to last 6 hours, which is going to include food and non-alcoholic mm-hmm. beverage. And Panama also was the first country after Christopher Columbus discovered that the Catholic Church have their first diocese. It was established in Panama. And that's something important for us, that we are doing World Youth Day to celebrate that we are, you know, the first diocese over there.
Wow, that's amazing. So what would be a typical food in Panama?
Well, we are located geographically in Central America, and because we have a lot of influence when the construction of the canal was done from Americans and French people, Germany, Asian, we have a mix of everything. And I can say one of the most traditional ones is arroz con pollo, which is rice with meat, chicken. Mm-hmm. But it's made it in a different way. We like a lot of spicy food too. And we have a lot of influence from Jamaica. So they're going to love it.
But for me, the most delicious was ceviche. Different types and different shapes and different spices. So it's very, very healthy. Yes.
Is there a common fish that is eaten there?
Yes, I will try to remember the names correctly in English, but in Spanish it's corvina, salmon, and the way that usually we do it in a different way, but mostly they like to kind of fry it spicy, and they are very big, big fish, and fresh, and just take it out of the ocean.
Kevin, are you zeroing in on the food, or are you zeroing in on the spiritual aspects of this?
Well, I think that's the point, right? It's both experiencing the culture of Panama, and then also experiencing World Youth Day. I think that St. John's and Folsom does have room open in their trip. Is it a 10-day? What is it? Not 10 days and 9-night trip. Price is $2,500. And if people want to sign up, they can call Ninoshka at... Do we have a number in here?
Yes, they can call me at 281... Yeah, let me just check to give you the correct number.
They also can call to the office.
In St. John, Father, what is our phone number in the office?
Yes, 916-985-2065, as far as I
can
remember.
Can we say that again so they can write it down? The office in St. John?
916-985-2065.
And also they can call us area code 916-281-9410. I will say it again. Area code 916-281-9410. And they can email us at wydsacramento@icloud.com. wydsacramento@icloud.com.
And we'll put that contact information along with the packet to sign up. We'll put that up on our website at scd.org. Just click on the Youth Ministry link and you'll be able to find it under World Youth Day.
Very good.
So if people need would like to sign up for the trip.
You know, Shka, we think of Central America and South America as very Catholic. What's the state of the church in Panama?
In Panama, 99.8% we are Catholic.
We got to get those other point too.
Yeah, we are very. There is an area where the kids will have the also the experience to explore, which we call the Casco Antiguo, or the old town in Panama, and it's a very small area. To give you an idea, it's just this. I don't know if people know about Folsom, but just the area of Folsom. Compared with the Casco Viejo, we have 8 churches over there, Catholic churches. And each church have about, on Sundays, about 6 masses, and they are all full all the time. So that's how Catholic Panama it is. And we also very devoted to our Virgin Mary.
Not surprising.
And the Panamanian people, they love to express their faith by singing, clapping, dancing. And I was fortunate to be in the church of our Mercy, Divine Mercy, for one of the masses with exposition of the Blessed Sacrament and then the procession. So people literally, they were walking behind the Blessed Sacrament. They were touching there, extending their children, and I was so impressed, and it was very, very moving, and I think we will see and we will experience those moments with Panamanian people during World Youth Day.
It has to be one of the benefits of World Youth Day is for people maybe that in the United States sometimes we tend to be a little more reserved with our faith, to see those expressions of faith has got to be inspiring.
I'm agree, and because the people from different parts of the world, they have different ways to express their faith or just to keep for themselves. But in South America and in Panama, you know, it will be like the explosion of joy and dancing. Sure. And I remember when I was in Poland, so when we were walking on the streets or in the bus, sometimes we're having impression that 90% of people that are from South America, because they were singing, they were clapping, and then it was such joyful experience and a little bit different than Polish people, how they express their faith.
Father, the most recent World Youth Day in Poland, and you're from Poland, explain what that means to a country, to from a native's point of view, to have World Youth Day.
Definitely this rejuvenates faith of young people and bring them together. Mm-hmm. And then naturally they ask themselves, what does mean to be Catholic in this secular world with many challenges? And one of the benefits that I see, they can shift their way of thinking from very secular way and to reflect on our on personal relationship with Jesus Christ as a young person in this country and in the church and in the world.
So take in, and all the pilgrims can take it back to their home as well.
Oh, they are on fire, and I know that many good things are happening right now with young people in Poland because the World Youth Day, but also constantly I hear how the World Youth Day in Poland affected them. And not only in Poland, because like was in the Philippines, I think 1987, until present day, I hear that because the World Youth Day, because Pope John Paul II, many vocations to priesthood and religious life.
Yeah, you know, I hear that about Denver World Youth Day. You hear it all the time. I turned my life around after attending World Youth Day in Denver, or I decided to become a priest or a sister because of World Youth Day in Denver.
I remember that. I didn't go to World Youth Day in Denver, but I started in youth ministry right about that time. And so that was an explosion of just energy around youth ministry, people putting resources into youth programs, young people deciding like, hey, I want to be a youth minister, as my job or as my career. Mm-hmm. So a lot of excitement around that. And so it was this, the stories from World Youth Day were a little bit crazy because they were completely unprepared in Denver for World Youth Day.
Yeah.
So you hear the stories of like, you know, shortages of water and people not being able to get there, whatever. But what ended up happening was just this incredible, like, you know, the grace of the Holy Spirit that just really, flowed out of that event. And so, I think that was certainly true in the United States, but you hear that in all the different countries that have had World Youth Day. I know when they had World Youth Day in Germany, they started that that Night Fever program, the adoration. Now we have that at our cathedral two or three times a year. And that came out of that, that experience and wanting to keep the experience of World Youth Day going in the hearts of young people.
Didn't Pope Benedict arrive by boat in Germany?
It was in Sydney.
Oh, was it Sydney?
Sydney.
All right.
Sydney. Yeah. I want to mention this night of adoration and vigil before mass with the Pope. When you see 3 million people who are kneeling on the ground in silence, gives you goosebumps.
Yeah.
And the presence of Jesus is real and profound.
Yeah, whether there's supposed to be strength in numbers or not, there is. There's something profound when you're with a group that feels alike and thinks alike and experience the moment you just told us about. Yeah, that's powerful stuff.
And this stays with you forever.
Yeah, that's wonderful. That's wonderful.
I would like to invite the youth to go to YouTube and explore and find out about other world theater in other countries that they can see how youth from all over the world gathered together and mm-hmm. prayed and sing. Because as we know, world theater is a pilgrimage, and they will experience joy. They will experience also time of prayer. There's going to be a time of difficulties where they're going to probably feel hungry or the language barrier. But all of those things are helping us to grow in Jesus Christ, where I believe the main thing of this is to know Christ, to love him, and finally to serve him when we're coming back, transform. And for the parents that are listening to us, I would like to say that I assure you that your kids will come back as a different person.
Yeah, and I think too that that's very well said. That really seeing the universality of the church has got to be very, very powerful too, and it's got to do a lot for world peace and relations between countries too. So, oh, I met that guy. He's from wherever, Bangladesh. I didn't realize.
So, like, quick story from Poland, and when we were on Błonie Krakowskie, I was talking with one of the priests, so we began in English, and he said that he's from Turkestan, which is the former Republic of Soviet Union, a very Muslim, where there are only 150 people, Catholics. So he had a group, and I said, if he's from Turkestan, probably he speaks in Russian. So we began to speak in Russian. Mm-hmm. And then no Russian priest in Turkestan. And I said, do you speak Polish? And he said, yes. And this is one of the stories how people can connect very quickly because faith in Jesus Christ. And to hear how in different parts of the world people really pay price and struggle because their Catholic faith is very enriching for all of us.
Well, you know, I remember too, as the World Youth Day in Poland approached, there were a lot of security concerns because of all the terrorist attacks we've seen, especially in Europe at the time. And you just, it doesn't happen at World Youth Day.
I think that God was with us, and our president and government, they did an excellent job, and I heard lots of great comments how they worked very hard to keep us safety.
Yeah.
Because could you imagine that one incident. Yeah, but luckily we were saved.
Yeah.
So pray also for them.
Indeed. Nooshka, do you have a Christ the Redeemer? Is there a shrine, a statue, or something that people in Panama relate to? Not the Christ the Redeemer, but he's the Redeemer everywhere.
Well, we are very devoted to the Divine Mercy. Very devoted. And as I said, also to the Virgin Mary.
Sure.
Especially, we celebrate on December the 8th, the conception of Mary.
Right.
And we are so lucky from the St. John the Baptist and Father Sylvester that he went to Panama last year, that we're going to be hosted for the Divine Mercy Church, which is a very active church in Panama.
Mm-hmm.
It's the main church in the city where processions and adoration of the Eucharist is done every single Thursday.
Wow.
And the families that are going to be hosting us, they live in the Bell Causeway, and there's going to be two condominiums where they're going to be hosting us, and it's only to the church is about 15 minutes walking, and to the main thing is about 5 minutes, where it's going to be also Catholic concerts that the kids are going to enjoy a lot.
Wow.
I think it's worthy to mention about the statue of Our Lady of Antigua.
That's right, yes. Our Lady of Antigua, we are devoted to her because when the Españoles came, mm-hmm. Vasco Núñez de Balboa, who discovered the south of the ocean, he's the one that brought her to colony, and they built the first main church in the area that is called Darien. It's all the way to the west of Panama. And since then, Panama has been devoted to the Virgin of Antigua, who is coming from Spain.
Very good.
I think you have a, like the special prayer.
I have a special prayer here.
See, Our Lady which of Antigua, patron. Yes, patroness of Panama, and maybe we'll leave for you this. So,
Wonderful. The prayer for World Youth Day. Wow. What would we do without Our Lady?
She brings us together. Oh, yes. Man. It's, yes, so another little note that I would like to say about Panama so people can start searching to know more about my country is that 3 million years ago, we emerged from the ocean. And we are a narrow strip country where we join North America with South America. So it's a very economical transition for the canal. Mm-hmm. And we have all kind of mixed culture there that they will. Panama, most of their population speak English too.
Mm-hmm.
So for United States, it's going to be easy.
Yeah, Americans seem to find it. It's a great number of countries now speak English. I'm fascinated about taking the boat trip. I think that would just be mind-boggling to see how all the locks and all that works. Yeah, well, how exciting! Again, tell us how people can contact you to sign up.
Oh yes, they can call us at 916-281-9410. I will repeat it again, 916-281-9410. Or they can email us at WYD as World Youth Day, WYD Sacramento at iCloud.com. And the cost of the trip is $2,500, which is going to include the airline ticket, food during the 10 days that we're going to be in Panama. And as Father Sylvester explained, we would like to give them a little bit of a tour so they can know a little bit of Panama. And it's going to be 2.5 full days of tour, including a very nice transportation with air conditioning, which is going to be kind of hot in Panama. During those days, the temperature over there, it's about 88. Mm-hmm. But because Panama is so humid, it feels hotter.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anybody who's experienced humidity but knows that it raises the temperature.
But this is pilgrimage, and good God will invite us to make lots of sacrifices.
Yeah.
So.
Very good.
I also advise people that are interested to join our team that please subscribe fast because our seat limit is very limited,
mm-hmm.
and we don't have too many openings what we have left now.
And it's January 19. It starts.
Yes.
It's soon.
9 months.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Father Sylvester, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for all you do and have done for so long in this diocese. Ninoshka, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so
Kevin,
much.
As always.
Yes, and don't miss the opportunity. I'm waiting for all of you in Panama and that you all come with us and Father Sylvester to World Youth Day in Panama. God bless you.
God bless you and hasta luego in Panama.
Thanks, Father. We'll take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. You can drop by and shop at their thrift store, 2275 Watt Avenue. It's open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, furniture, appliances, clothing, books, and everyday household items. You can give them a call, 916-972-1000. 1212. We'd also like to thank the kind and dedicated folks at Associated Sound for all their help in keeping all our equipment running with their excellent sound assistant and technical expertise. When it comes to sound, Associated Sound is the only name you need to know. Give them a call. They're at 916-649-8040 or go online at AssociatedSound.com. Well, located in Citrus Heights, Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years. Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King as the jewel of the diocese, a wonderful retreat center. They have parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. You can give them a call, 916-725-4720. That's 916-725-4720. Or visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights.
Good morning. This is Sister Maria, and I'm the Formation Director for the Seminarians, and you are listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Thanks, Sister Maria, for all you do here in the Diocese of Sacramento. It's wonderful to work with you. Katita Schloman joins us now. What is your title, Katita?
I'm the Safe Environment Coordinator for the diocese.
Very good. And April is, which we're in the middle of now, National Child Abuse Prevention Month.
Correct.
I know there are a lot of people coming at that from a lot of different angles.
That's right.
And you'd think it would have been solved by now. And indeed, it's not.
No, unfortunately, it isn't. It isn't. And, you know, we have such a great responsibility to ensure that our children are safe in our parishes and our schools, but just in our community in general. So.
And Jesus told us, take care of the little ones.
That's
Don't
right.
mess with the little ones.
That's right.
I mean, it's real specific, and even though it was spoken 2,000 words years ago, it's just, as with everything Jesus said, it's 100% relevant today.
It absolutely is. I mean, there's nothing more precious than a child,
yeah.
And we all as a community have that responsibility to keep them safe.
So what happens during National Child Abuse Prevention? Is this just a Catholic national,
No, it's not. It's not just a Catholic,
right.
You know, a Catholic thing. April is designated as a month.
Who designated?
It comes from, I believe, the Center for Missing and Exploited Children is, I believe, where it started. Mm-hmm. But on a national level, it's just the month that is taken to recognize child abuse and how we prevent child abuse or try to prevent child abuse. And so nationally, there are all sorts of things that go on. So it's not just something that, you know, the diocese does. For us, it's an opportunity for us to really pause and reflect on what efforts we've put in place, you know, over the past 16 years now.
Wow.
Since Safe Environment was formed. But it so it's really what we do. We try to use this time to really look at our practices. Are we putting everything into place? Are we doing everything that we need to do? You know, there's no rule book for Safe Environment. We abide by the charter that was written in the early 2000s. But the interpretation of that charter is diocese to diocese. And so we have to always be looking and... it's not always the obvious that is concerns me, but it's those little quiet spots where have we addressed that? Have we looked at all of the organizations in our diocese? You know, it's difficult to always be aware of what is going on a parish level. We rely on parish safe environment contacts to, you know, inform us, oh, we have this group coming in. And so it's really our opportunity to pause, make sure we're putting things into place, look at what we need to change for the upcoming year, and also get ready for our yearly audit.
So, you know, you say 16 years ago, and I when this first, you know, we think about Boston, and that's kind of when it just all jumped into the national consciousness. And I remember back then we were in the first few years of doing the Bishop's Hour, and Bishop Wiegand was a bishop at the time. And I remember was watching early morning TV, getting ready to come in to do the radio show, and here was this story out of Boston, and it was just smacked us all, you know. And I thought, oh, whatever we had planned for the radio that day was kind of not gonna happen. And Bishop Wiegand called me at home, which is not in our normal relationship.
Right.
And he said, I want to be on the radio today.
Yeah.
Period.
Yes.
Unscripted. He said, he didn't say, I want you to ask me this question or that question, or right. I want to make a speech. And I said, do you want to take phone calls? He said, absolutely. Unfiltered. People right. can call. It was like, it told me how proactive he was going to be right out of the chute.
And our diocese has been very proactive since the get-go.
And Bishop Soto is just he's a stalwart.
Yeah, absolutely. And from a safe environment, from a department standpoint, the support that we get is tremendous
right.
from the bishop. It really helps to make this job somewhat easier.
Well, I guess the question I have for you is so a lot of well-meaning people said we got to do something, and they came up with the Charter for the Protection of Young People and on. But initially it had to be based on we got to do something, and this sounds like the right thing to do. This sounds like this will work if we do this.
Right.
But I'm sure as time goes on, you learn.
That's right.
Like, well, this sounds good, but maybe are you able to, do you sit down and tweak it every year? Do you go, gee, that program didn't really work. Let's try this.
So we try to do that. And even on a charter level that was written by the Catholic Conference of Bishops, there was a revision to that.
Sure.
You know, they look at it. They needed to include vulnerable adults in that,
right.
you know, and in that charter. And so that language needed to be added into our programs as well. But, you know, there will be revisions to that charter that we need to make those adjustments by. But, yes, we're always looking. Is this the best thing? Mm-hmm. Initially, you know, way back when, at the start of all of this, everyone was just trying to get their hands around it, and what
right.
do we do? And you know, it's a constant evaluation and a shifting of, are we doing this the right way? Do we need to look at a different curriculum for this? Is this the best thing out there? And again, back in the early 2000s, there was very limited curriculum
sure.
that we could use for training children. There was limited curriculum that we could use for training adults on how to recognize and report child abuse. So, so yes, we have to change as the times change, and as that charter gets revised, we have to make those adjustments.
Can you see the fruit? You know, some people will say, well, you know, we've had fewer mm-hmm. cases or whatever, which is a good sign, obviously. But then you go, well, yeah, but sometimes if it happens to a kid when they're 8.
Right.
They don't, you know, they don't get around to reporting until they're 30, you know.
That's
so
right.
it's like a long term.
It is.
We have to evaluate it like is something going to hit us 20 years from now
right.
that we missed.
That we missed. And
yeah.
you know, it's difficult to measure that. You know, it's really difficult. I look at it as every time we provide that training to a child, every time we have a volunteer or an employee complete our Safe Haven training, it's providing them with the tools to hopefully pause, listen to what, you know, their instinct is telling them, and how to respond to that. I did last year, we were bringing the Knights of Columbus into compliance mm-hmm. with Safe Environment. This year it's been St. Vincent de Paul and Legion of Mary. And I was up in the northern area doing a large training with the Knights. And there was a very nice man that waited for me after the large training. And he, with tears in his eyes, shared his story of what he went through as a young boy and the abuse he suffered from a volunteer. And this was an older gentleman.
Yeah.
And he said, I don't ever want to come forward publicly and share my story. He said, I've gone on to marry and raise 4 children and had a lovely life, but this is something that has haunted me my entire life. And he said, but I'm so proud of the efforts that the church is making, and I wish this had been there. I displayed all of those signs of an abused child. My mother would have maybe known, that something was happening to me had she had that training. But times were different then. So,
there's so many forms that it takes too, and we can do so many things to protect kids that seem like they will work. It's like, well, gee, I was just going to volunteer to drive on the field trip, and now you're fingerprinting me, and you're treating me like a criminal. Do you get that?
All the time. Yeah. You get that all the time.
But it's frustrating.
Yes, it is. But, we try to talk people through. It's not, we need to ensure, just like you would want your child.
Exactly.
In a car.
Yeah,
and
fingerprint
we're assuring,
everybody but me.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And generally people come around. The training that we have, it's a new training. It's called Safe Haven. For years we had Shield the Vulnerable. Safe Haven is our new training. And it is a video series, and it's designed about recognizing the grooming techniques of other adults who are predators and the steps that they go through. When we talk about, used to be stranger danger, but when we look at 95% of abuse is committed by somebody that child knows
that
trusts.
Yeah. That probably the family members trust.
That's right. And that grooming technique of an adult ingratiating themselves into the family and just becoming a confidant and a close family friend is where the abuse happens. So it's really important for other adults to recognize those grooming techniques and
it's so hard because hey, I'm going to the ball game. You think your son would like to come with me, and you think, oh, isn't that nice?
Right.
And you from a parent standpoint, you want your kids to engage.
Right.
You don't want them, when an adult asks them a question or tries to engage with them, to get all shy and
hide
behind your back. You want them to speak up and to look people in the eye and stuff.
That's right.
And yet
it's hard. It's really a difficult, it's a fine line.
And people are very good. I think you tend to think of, well, anybody who's a sexual predator is going to look wild and crazy, And it's not true.
It's not. And that grooming process is not something that usually happens in a week. It's something
it's
that can take,
over time.
Over time. And they're looking for those opportunities. They're looking for perhaps a broken home, a busy set of parents, a child that maybe has a lower self-esteem. And, sometimes as a parent, you think, oh, how wonderful this person is, really, taken such a great interest in my child and fulfilling something in their lives. And really, we got to pause and look at.
So the one missing piece in my mind is that we can do everything we can to protect kids. We can do everything we can to educate parents. We can do all those things. The one thing we haven't seemed to, and maybe I'm wrong, seem to have made much progress with, is actually the predator themselves.
That's right.
And how to, we try to keep them away from our kids. We have, what's the list that you can...
The Megan's Law.
Law, you can see where they live and all that stuff. And, oh, we're not going to walk by that house and keep them away from the school. But to change their behavior, to make them not predators, we seem to have failed.
And there's
maybe there's no cure.
Yeah, and that is an issue that's an argument. Are they rehabilitatable? Is this, somebody who has that propensity and that attraction to a child? Can it be cured?
Yeah.
And I'm thankful I don't have to deal with that part of it because I you know, it's
and I don't know how much, I mean, it's, we have gone, I think, from, well, we'll put them in jail for a few years,
right,
and that'll teach them the lesson and they'll never do it
right
again. Or, you know, we'll identify where they live and
right
we won't let them be near schools and we
That's
won't
right
let them be near kids and all that. But to actually make that desire and quotes go away.
Right.
And many
times those are individuals who suffered
as a child.
So there is evidence perpetual
as to what causes it, at least with some people.
Mm-hmm.
But the and you see more and more, whether it's the Catholic Church or mm-hmm school districts or where people have gotten into zero tolerance.
That's right.
That they've decided
right
we don't know if it can be cured, but
right
we can't
what
take
we
a chance.
Can try to do is protect what we have.
Right.
And you know, even outside of the church, you look at what happened with the gymnastics, the women's gymnastic,
right,
and you know, under right under you
exactly
know, the parents' eyes.
This is at a major
right
university. We're
the
dealing
level,
with
yeah
doctors. We're
right
dealing, you know, it's just, it's, and,
right,
and apparently it happened, like you say, right in front of the parents sometimes.
Yeah.
Just mind-boggling.
It is. It really, really is. But again, an individual who has, you know, ingratiated themselves into
yep
trust, become a trusted person, and you know, you think, that can't happen.
That can't happen.
And it does.
And it does,
you know?
Yeah.
So.
Wow. So that's... So what steps do you do anything special during April
it's especially when Easter falls, it gets a little difficult. We send out petitions that can be read at Mass. We provide additional bulletin announcements. This last month in the Catholic Herald, we did a whole entire issue devoted to keeping children safe. The different schools had some articles, even just on a child's level, like on bullying and the steps that another school goes to and how they manage their reports that come from safe environment from the
mm-hmm
department on background checks and training to who can be a driver and who can't and on the parish level. And then information on kind of where we are now so many years later after the charter. So we kind of use that great, you know, publication
right
to be able to get all of that information out.
So are we talking primarily about sexual abuse still?
No. You know, we abuse kind of it takes on different forms. We have, you know, physical, emotional, sexual. We have a neglect, which neglect is one of the largest
mm-hmm
forms of abuse out there. Emotional abuse becomes difficult to report,
mm-hmm,
but it's usually done in conjunction with other types mm-hmm of abuse. But no, we're looking at all of those types of abuse. So even that new training that we have, Safe Haven, goes through how to recognize those additional types of abuse, you know, and neglect. So no, we're always
it seems as if sexual abuse is the one that lasts a lifetime.
You know, they all create scars. They really,
sure,
really do. And you know, the sexual abuse of a child, just, you know, you just think, how can that happen? How can that adult do that to that child? But they all last.
Yeah.
They all leave scars. They all, you know, create doubt, you know, in adults, and you know, it's frightening and it's sad. And I am very proud that, you know, as a church, we go through these measures to do what we can. But it's not unique to the Catholic Church. That's, you know,
no, that's no, it absolutely isn't. But as we always hear, as one child abused is one child too many.
It's and, right. Absolutely.
And it's frustrating for me as a parent to think, and maybe I feel real lucky that I don't experience.
Right.
I don't want to abuse my kids. No. I don't want to abuse anybody else's kids. Right. You know, it's right. I think, as you say, they're precious.
Right.
But people, there right. are people out there who really are.
Right.
You know. I don't know what the white I don't right. want to say bad people, but they have these tendencies that are so destructive and so harmful to other people that we have to worry about our kids
and
in those
cyclical.
Situations.
You know, it's a cycle of abuse. It you know, when you go back and look, most of the time it
happened
abuse
to them.
At when they were a child or you know, a young person, right. and it just is that constant cycle of abuse. And again, maybe that an adult who's a you know, sexually abusing a child, perhaps their abuse was, you know, physical and emotional, and they were neglected. And, you know, it's a vicious, vicious, ugly cycle.
Yeah,
it really
indeed
is.
And we see it. I mean, we've seen all the stories in the news, mm-hmm. The kids living in cardboard boxes
and
parents keeping them tied up. And
the case down in Riverside recently, and I remember watching that on the news thinking, how can there be 13 children living in that home and not one single neighbor?
Nobody
said nobody's in the yard, nobody's out riding a bike, and but those are the things that should cause us to pause and report.
And this case and where the car went over the cliff in Mendocino, you know, you think something bad had to have been
going on. That's right. Absolutely.
Well, if people have questions,
absolutely.
How do they get a hold of you?
So they're welcome to give us a call in Safe Environment. The main line for Safe Environment is 916-733-0237. And either Sandra, our background check clerk, can answer questions, or I'm happy to answer them as well.
Very good. Katita, we're lucky to have you.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, take care.
This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy Ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love, and you can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation by calling 916-851-2700. Fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts is for all of us. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. Give them a call. They're at 916-338-7272, or drop on and visit them, 6916-6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Well, if you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to where you want to go. Details are available at Crumley & Associates. They're at 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks, or give them a call at 916-638-4600. We thank them for their longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. Underwriting is also provided to the Bishop's Hour by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call, 855-525-2285. We thank all the wonderful underwriters for the Bishop's Hour, and we hope you will support those who support us. Thanks for listening, everybody. God bless. We'll talk to you again soon.
Reached down and wiped our tears away. stepped in and saved the day. But once again, I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through.